I'll desire your prayers again this evening. Have just a little thought, a little scripture to read here this evening. But before I read this, I'll ask you all a question. How many of you all have, whether it's a building project, construction project, or maybe a repair project, say for some of the young men or fathers in here that have tried restoring a vehicle or a tractor or something of the sort, or maybe the ladies in here that have worked on maybe some landscaping or flower beds, or maybe some of the folks that have worked on, like I mentioned, construction, maybe building a new house or remodeling or whatever the case is, fixing something up. First off, before you start on that project, what comes to your mind? A lot of things come to my mind when I start on little projects like that. First off is, how much is it going to cost? Sit down and let's analyze, let's consider the cost. Second of all is, how much work is going to be involved in this? You know, do a thorough research and investigate, check into it. But another thing to consider is, what is my real goal? What do I really want? What's the end picture going to look like? And many times, no doubt we've all seen these home and garden magazines, some things that's restored houses or furniture or pretty landscape and all these things and beautiful picturesque type homes. Impressive, you know. But there's a lot that goes behind that. A lot of planning, a lot of preparation, work, money, you name it. But there is a drive. There's a goal set that you see that picture. You turn to such and such page and you show all your friends and you talk about it and you think about it for weeks, maybe months. And then you start saving up for it and you start making preparations. You start maybe tearing out a wall here, tearing out a wall there, or doing all these things. Maybe buying materials as you can and you're working towards that. And then perhaps you start on the project, and you get in the middle of the project, and maybe you're short on funds, or maybe you get sick, or maybe something, you dig into the project further and find out there's a lot more work involved than what you realize. How many of us have done that before? Sure, we have. But whatever the case is, you open up that magazine, you turn back to that page again, you look at it again, and you're like, oh, I want that so bad, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to save up some more money. I'm going to work hard at it. I'm going to ask for some more help or whatever. And maybe you talk to your friends about it again and you get encouraged and inspired again. Maybe you go see some other places, maybe restored in a similar fashion, inspires you again or whatever the case is. And you persevere through it. And then when it's all said and done and this project is complete, then you look back with satisfaction. You're like, wow, I really enjoyed that, but now I'm going to enjoy the fruits of my labor, okay? And but it's something that along the way, throughout the course, truly, it's anytime there's work involved, it's sometimes not fun. Maybe you have to get dirty, or maybe you risk injuring yourself, or whatever the case is, and it takes a lot of your time, and you're not being able to get all your other basic functions done around the place, cleaning up whatever. But there's something about it that drives you. You want to get this done. Well, I have a scripture to read, and maybe this will click with us tonight. The scripture is in James, the first chapter. James 1 and verse 2. The scripture is, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, what about that? Of course, that's our spiritual house. That's us. That's our soul. That's our temple that God has given all of us. But it's saying here, my brethren, count it all joy. You could rephrase it this way, and if you dissect some of these words here, and I'll just read it, interchanging some words and say it a different way. You could say, consider or think of it cheerfully or in a calm, delightful way when you are faced with many or various adversities or afflictions. So it's basically saying the same thing, but I believe this is said much better. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And what James is saying here, I believe, is no doubt he was faced with some things. Of course he was. But he had lived life long enough to know that it is worth it to serve the Lord. Even though there's a high cost, such as denying yourself, denying flesh, going back and asking forgiveness for something you made a mistake or you offended someone. Or facing persecution, someone making fun of you for a stand that you've taken for conviction God has given you, and you being made fun of. That's not easy. That's not fun. And considering this, temptations, it says, when you fall into many or diverse and various temptations. Again, adversities, afflictions, many forms of afflictions. But you could say it this way too. That it's putting to the proof. In other words, proving what do you really have on hand. You remember what was said of Jesus in Hebrews. In fact, let's turn and read that. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So here we have Jesus. He started building a spiritual house, okay, so to speak. And just like we were talking earlier, you start on a project. You have this goal in mind, this beautiful picture here that you see in this magazine, that this is what I want, okay? And you work towards that goal. And throughout the course of working towards that, you're going to be met with a lot of adversaries, okay? We already talked about what those things could be. But when we really want something, do we let those things stop us? A lot of times, maybe it doesn't. Some of it may depend on your personality. But when you really, if you want something bad enough, you're going to do it. You're going to finish it. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He had this goal in mind to bring salvation to you and I. And he was faced with a lot of adversaries, a lot of afflictions, a lot of temptations Jesus was faced with. But it said, who for the joy that was set before him? You see, he had a joy of seeing this thing completed, this wonderful plan of salvation, looking at all the misery and sin around him, and he's saying, I got something better for you in mind, and I want to give it to you right now. And some rejected him, but he's saying, I still got it out there. But he continued, he finished the course, his course, all right, finished his fight, died on the cross. He was looking forward to this wonderful plan of salvation being completed, all right? The package deal and sending the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, as a comforter. But it's something that no doubt he knew he was going to be disappointed if he gave up short. And here's the thing. There was more involved than just him. You see what I'm saying? And a lot of these things, these temporal things we were talking about, a lot of times it just has to deal with maybe our family. That may be it. Or maybe friends and family that we want to invite over to our house that we've remodeled or whatever the case is. But it's a temporal, but it's an enjoyment. And so you could say, I'm looking forward to someday, once I get this remodeled, I can have an extra 20 people over. We can have a family reunion at our house or whatever the case is. And we can't fit many in there now, but when we get done, I'm going to look forward to having all the kids and the grandkids and all, all of them over and have a wonderful time celebrating one of the holidays or someone's birthday or a big anniversary event or whatever the case. But there's that joy that's set ever before them. I have this goal in mind and I want to finish this work. I want to see this carried out. You know, there's a lot of times, we hear of stories where maybe it's parents or grandparents that they had a goal or ambition to build something or to accomplish something in their life. And they worked maybe their whole life doing it. And they end up dying, passing away. And they're hoping and wishing, their dying wish is, I hope my children, my grandchildren will finish this job or whatever. And how many times have we heard that maybe it goes unfinished? And the children, or grandchildren, they're not interested. And they sell whatever it was and they just let it go. But there's something about it when it's you, when it's your own personal project, so to speak, that you are interested in. There's something about that drive, that joy, that you want to see it completed. You know, that's what Jesus had. Well, Lord, help us to have that same with our souls and with our own temples in mind, to realize that it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I don't believe this is joy talking about jumping up and down and excited, bouncing off the walls, smiling all the time. It's not really talking about that joy. It's saying, if you look this up in the Greek, that word joy in the Greek means chara or kara, which again means cheerfully, calmly delighted. And you're cheerful. That means you're taking pleasure in seeing how God is transforming my situation, my inner being, my weaknesses, my shortcomings, how God is transforming those things. And it's taken a while because it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That I'm going to have, oh Lord, I need some patience here as you're remodeling me. You see what I'm saying? That the Lord's starting to knock out some walls in my heart. He's starting to open up some rooms over here. It's like, oh, that hurts. And I didn't know that was over there. And he's cleaning out. He's doing a thorough cleaning, purging, whatever it is. And it's taking some patience. Oh, Lord, how long is this going to last? But yet the Lord has perhaps given us, if we ask him, a vision. It's like, oh, Lord, I see brother or sister and so-and-so that they made it safely to the other side. And they endured all these things. And you bless and encourage them. And their life is such a glorious testimony of your power. Of how you saved them and brought them along. And all the adversities they were faced with. And they made it. They have a wonderful testimony. You're like, Lord, I want the same for me. That's a joy that I can have that too. I can have those victories to overcome those things as well. But it goes on a little further here. It doesn't stop. It says, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's talking about, let patience have her perfect, that ye may be perfect and entire. You know what that's really meaning? That's simply meaning that you will be complete, mature, that wanting nothing. And it actually defines it there for you. That there is nothing else that this area in your life, the Lord has given you complete victory. Now you're on to the next subject. You see what I'm saying? That's what God wants to do with us. But then it goes on. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now let's think about this here for a moment. I don't believe it's just talking about wisdom to know how to, say, manage your money wisely. And that's good. I believe in context of these other scriptures, it's talking about, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to face these temptations, these trials, these afflictions. And Lord, give me wisdom to know how to apply your graces And Lord, give me wisdom to know how to, and understanding to know how to trust all of this into your hands. That maybe, Lord, I don't know how to let go of these certain things and let you work. Lord, I need your wisdom. That, think about it. That I believe that the Lord is, He wants to give us so much. But sometimes we stop short because we stop asking the Lord for wisdom. We stop asking the Lord, Lord, help me to apply this, whatever I'm going through, that you'll work it for my good. Romans 8:28. That Lord, help me to believe that all things work together for good. To them who are thee called, to them that love the Lord, and to them who are thee called according to his purpose. Because God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us, and that is to bring us victory. Oh, yes, it is to make something of us, yes, and something where we're useful in the church and working for the Lord. But through this whole process, he wants to, if I can say it this way again, remodel your heart, okay? He wants to do some work on you because he has a joy in seeing you and I transformed and molded into something that he can use, a vessel unto honor, the scripture says. That's the joy that that Jesus is looking forward to, saying, I got a plan for brother or sister so-and-so, that if they will ask for the wisdom of how to apply their hearts and these trials and these lessons that I'm giving them, if they'll just ask, I'm going to give it to them, and I'm not just going to give them a little bit, I'm going to give them, what's the scripture say? Exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think of. He wants to just pour out these blessings upon us. But if we don't have self emptied out, and if we're not, if we could say it this way, emptied out of ourselves, but putting our own desires, our own little pictures, you know, of what we think we should be when we grow up. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, oh no, Lord, here's what I want to be. And you show him the magazine, you know, the picture, like, this is what I want to be. You see what I'm saying? That how many times that's what we want to do? That I have it all planned out right here. And the Lord's saying, no, if you would just ask, I'll show you the way and I'll lead you in the way everlasting. And I got this plan for you. If you'll just trust me, if you'll just commit this, yeah, these trials, these afflictions, but if you would trust me so much so, how many times have you guys heard of stories as such, where perhaps, I heard one just recently, I can't remember that one, but where the child is, here's one I remember. There was one time, there was a father, and he'd walked in. He was bringing his children into visiting a house, and there was this big dog. Okay, this child was deathly afraid of dogs, but this one was really big and mean and growling. But all the child had to do was just run to the father and go like this. And you think the father's gonna say, "Oh no, you go face him by yourself." No, the father's like, gladly, I'll pick you up. You know, you don't need to be bothered by that thing. And so the point is, that's just like you and I in life, that we're faced with this big monster, this big trial, this big temptation. Sometimes there's many of them. Maybe there's 10 big dogs there in the yard. You see what I'm saying? That all we have to do is say, Lord, I can't handle this on my own. Where are you at? You know? Lift our hands and our arms up to Jesus. He's not going to just like, just going. But no, we joyfully, all right, cheerfully jump into the safe arms of Jesus, saying, that's where I know I'm safe. That's where I know it is. You know, Daddy's going to take, I don't know how he's going to do it, you know. I don't know how he's going to whip all 10 of those dogs, but I think it'll be okay. A little child is trusting that way. Lord, help us to be the same way. But through this, it says, count it all joy when you fall into many. You know what? And it's plural. It's not just one. You know what that says to me? Yeah, you've come through a few so far. You and I have, we've come through several, but there's more to come. So get ready. In other words, we haven't made it to the other side yet. But there is a way and there is a plan. And along the way, the Lord, and we've asked this question before of ourselves and of each other, but how many times, and we're talking about the joy part of it here, and I remember a particular story, and I'll share it again, when I was in high school. It was kind of a wake-up call to me. I had a friend that I would take to school about every day. I'd pick him up. Actually, it's two friends. But this other friend, he was actually a foreigner. He was from, I think, one of the Micronesian islands. And he could speak decent English. And he was the second one I picked up. And we'd, anyway. Well, one evening or one afternoon, we were leaving school. And we kind of met up with each other and was walking out to my car. And he looks at me and he's like, "What's wrong with you?" You know, I'm like, "Nothing. You know, nothing's wrong." He's like, "Boy, your face, you know." and we got in the car. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Man, you have this scowl on your face." I'm like, "Oh, I did?" And he's like, "I just thought something's really wrong. Like you flunked the test or whatever the case, you know, you got chewed out by a teacher for something." And I'm like, "No." He's like, "Well, you just didn't look very happy." Well, that was just a little thing, okay? That I was innocent. It wasn't. But the point was, there wasn't much, there wasn't a smile on my face, obviously. But it was as if he detected something there that, and how many times have maybe we walked into a grocery store or even a church services here, that, Lord, help us that we can enjoy our salvation and it's okay to smile. I have to tell myself sometimes, I'll catch myself a glance in the mirror, I'm like, "Whoa, okay." But it's okay that, yes, we do have trials. We do have temptations. We have afflictions. We're human. We're going to be faced with those things. But it says, count it all joy that, you know, Lord, maybe when you get through with me, that you're going to make something really special out of me. I don't know what it is yet. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm looking forward to that. You know, maybe we can have that attitude about it. And the process saying, well, maybe like the old saying is, talking about a diamond in the rough, you know, well, the Lord's just polishing on me. It may take a while, but he's going to knock off all the rough edges. And I'll be a diamond someday, as the old song says. But here's the thing. It's going to take some time. That's why it's reminding us here, let patience have her perfect work. It's not going to happen overnight. The Lord's not going to remodel your heart, so to speak, your situation. He's not going to remodel it overnight. And Lord, help us to remember, don't neglect to ask him for wisdom. Let's read on here this last scripture I want to read. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And again, it says, let him ask in faith. You know, sometimes, as someone mentioned the other night here, maybe we don't feel like we have enough faith. Say, Lord, I don't know how you can make me from this into this. You know, I wanted to be made into this, and it's not working out. And I don't, you know, and Lord, you want to make me into this, and I don't see how that's working out either. But what's the story said in the scripture? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. It's okay to pray that way. Because God, what's the scripture say? He knoweth our frame, and it is but dust. He knows that we are human, that we're not going to understand everything all the time. And we're going to have our down days. The Lord understands that. But Lord, help me to rise above those things. And to persevere through all of this, that you have a goal in mind. I have a goal in mind. I want to make it to heaven. And the Lord has a goal in mind. He wants to use you and I in his kingdom. So in the process, you can say, Lord, give me some wisdom. Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me some more patience. It's okay to do that. The Lord, it said here, if you ask, he says he upbraideth not. In other words, he's not going to get on to you. He's not going to scold you for asking for what you need, that what you're lacking. He's like, sure, you ask, I'll give. What's the scripture? Ask and you shall receive. So we're not talking about being a greedy, spoiled child here. But we're talking about when you're in the furnace, when you're in the trials, and when your back's against the wall, or when you're in a state of confusion, whatever the case is, say, Lord, I need some wisdom. Lord, I need some faith. And you know the rest of what we're talking about. But it's, I just want to encourage us here this evening that we don't have to let the devil kick us around, so to speak, and to where we just feel like a little soccer ball out there on the field that, like, oh, here comes another one. I'm kicked over here. And yes, we're going to feel like that sometimes. But ultimately, God has a plan for you and I, and it's to remodel us and to mold us into his perfect plan. And ultimately, as we always say, it's going to take us into heaven someday. And we get over to the other side. What's the song say? These trials will seem as nothing. It's going to be worth it all. I mean, yes, we understand what it's like to have the presence of God here, and it's wonderful. But to imagine what it's going to be like someday to be with him forever. Forever. There's not going to be a clock. No alarm clocks. You're not going to be having to wake up, going to your job. Children, you won't be going to school. No more chores. No more homework. None of those things. Some of us have had the flu and colds and all that. There won't be any of that. The list could... You lose loved ones, you won't be losing anyone else over there. No death, no sorrow. Folks disappoint you, yeah. There's a lot of wrong things in this world, but you get over there, everything is right. Everything is perfect. Everything is beautiful. If we but persevere, we'll get the taste of that. You pray for me that I would persevere.